Let's go for a ride on a beautiful Tuesday morning with my car guru and the guru himself, Lenny Lawson. You got a big yellow car out there like old Dan Seals sung
about.
It's
really not a big yellow car.
Well, my old he sang my old yellow car. You said it was 15 years old.
Dan Seals?
Yeah.
Seals and Croft?
No, that was Jimmy Seals. That was his brother. Dan Seals was half of England Dan and John Ford Coley.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I liked them in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. They had some good stuff.
Yeah, I got me a... I finally found an older Porsche that I could afford.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens to be not my first color choice. I would prefer something maybe in a gray, a subtle gray.
Mm-hmm.
Not really into silver. Really don't like black. But bright, bright yellow was not my first choice. It is very visible, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can definitely
lovely
see
car.
You coming, that's for sure.
It's a 1995 Porsche 911S, and it's fast. And I was reminded this morning that I am not to partake of that fastness without being precautious. Is that a word? No, I don't think it is.
Without being
without
cautious.
Some precaution.
Yeah.
Without being cautious.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And because I looked in my rearview mirror and right on me, state trooper. I looked at my speed. I was doing 64, so I was good.
Mm-hmm. In a what? Speed limit range?
65.
So you were good.
I was legal.
Do you think sometimes they just kind of ride there behind you just because they know they're probably freaking you out up ahead of them?
I don't know. You don't think they would be that vindictive, do you?
Well, not vindictive. I think it's just a playful type thing.
Playful?
Yeah, like, you know, I'm going to ride
behind them. No, I think they got more important stuff.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I've always felt for troopers and policemen in general because of what they have to do and the precautions they have to take. I understand why they want to, why they approach the vehicle carefully.
Yeah. Especially nowadays.
Yeah. And, you know, that's especially late at night. I mean, you just, gosh, it's so hard to see and the reaction. So I feel for those. Pray for those people. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to worry about me and my little yellow Porsche, though. People say, well, why are you driving a Porsche? I said, well, because I like it. You know, if I'm going to, I like old cars, right? I won't mm-hmm. keep it forever. I mean, you
mm-hmm.
know. You know me, I like to move them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be keeping this one for a little while. What do I like about it? Well, just, you know, the engine in the rear. I've got an affinity for cars with the engines back in the back.
Mm-hmm.
The lines are just, they've been, that car's been around so long in its same basic. I mean, you can look at a Porsche 911 from the 60s and tell that that car is related to it.
Mm-hmm.
Directly.
Mm-hmm.
They've maintained that same type of body lines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the interior of this car quite as much. One of the things I liked about the older Porsches was just the proximity of the steering wheel to the windshield. The dash was very thin, or narrow, I should say. And
mm-hmm.
if you were just right there, you felt like you're just right on top of the hood. This one mm-hmm. brings you back a little bit. That's probably for crash safety.
No, I'm sure. Yeah.
Which I want to be mm-hmm. safe. In case of that. Had a great weekend this weekend. Went up to Cincinnati to see my grandson and visit with him. We stayed down there next to the river. Took my drone. Flew it along the river.
No, did you?
Flew right over the stadium.
I was going to ask you if you flew over Great American Ballpark.
I did.
Yeah.
And I'll show you some pics. It was a beautiful day. Here's Great American Ballpark.
Wow, that looks like a picture from their website or something.
Well, it's a little blurry right now because it hadn't fully downloaded. But, yeah, it was a fun place to fly around. I did fly over, what is it? Is it still called Paul Brown Stadium? Or is
yeah, I think
is
so.
It?
Yeah. There's probably a company that's attached to that.
Yeah.
Because all stadiums have companies attached to them now, the sponsors.
Yeah, whatever. There's the kind of the cityscape.
Very nice.
Aren't you impressed? Folks, don't you wish you could see this?
I wish it was TV, just for once here.
Yeah, and then we went to, I had read about Pal Crosley, you know, the of Crosley Radio fame. We've
mm-hmm.
talked about him on this
mm-hmm.
show, created the
mm-hmm.
the Crosley Radio. Basically, I think the second radio station in the United States was WLW
mm-hmm.
In Cincinnati. And, you know, once he created the radio, he needed or decided how to build the radio. He had to create a radio station, and then he had to create a place for them to keep their beers when they were listening to the radio. So he created a refrigerator
mm-hmm.
with storage in the door, lots of innovations. Then he created a car company. He was considered the Henry Ford of radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's his nickname.
Yeah.
But I read an interesting book about him and went to see his mansion. It's called Pinecroft.
Hmm.
And I'm not exactly sure who owns it now, but they have a lot of weddings there. But it is just a beautiful, the architecture of the house is very castle-like, and what would you call that, alpine, you know, with the exposed boards and the stucco in between the boards on the outside.
Yeah, has a little alpine feel to
it. Yeah, yeah, German, but just a beautiful structure.
Where is that located in regards to downtown?
It is about 7-8 miles west of downtown, okay. Northwest of downtown.
Okay.
Yeah. But
Crosley Field was in that direction.
Yeah, just the architecture was just amazing. But apparently it's been turned over to, maybe it's in a foundation, but they have a lot of weddings there, and I can understand why. I went to their website, and, you know, you and I could go, and we could take our wives, and we could renew our vows there.
That would be romantic.
I don't know that mine need renewing.
No, I don't think mine do.
I think my first ones took.
You think they stuck?
I think they're pretty intact after 40.
Yeah.
Two,
I would imagine.
42 year. Yeah. I think it's right.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, nice place to visit and would want to live there. You know, sometimes people say, nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there, like San Francisco or New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if I'd want to be in New York City right now. But anyway, Cincinnati's beautiful. I mean, just all of the different neighborhoods. We just drove around for a while looking at houses. Even my 12-year-old grandson likes to look at houses. And that's weird, isn't it? He scored two touchdowns this weekend in a football game.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, two touchdowns and caught another pass and like had seven tackles. We don't like him playing football, but we are glad that he enjoys doing it.
Sounds like he's going to be an emerging star in
the moment. I don't know, but it's just a pleasure to be able to get away once a month, go up there and visit with him.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the old downtown YMCA, and it is equally beautiful. Just an old design. You can see the architecture. I'm showing a picture. It has a jogging track around the top.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just very, very a fun place to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a good time going in there. But anyway, Cincinnati, and the big car town, Cincinnati. That's where our corporate offices are for Ford Motor Company, for this region, the Cincinnati region.
Right, yeah.
That'd be a good place for your corporate offices to be if it was called the Cincinnati region.
That would take, yeah.
We are in the southern, we are the southernmost dealer in the Cincinnati region. We are almost in the Atlanta region.
Okay.
So what that means is they kind of forget about us occasionally. But Upper East Tennessee is, you know, if you look at the map, it looks like they just say, wait a minute, we got to put these guys somewhere. That's kind of what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So Mitch Walters and myself and whoever owns Johnson City Ford and all of us Ford dealers in this area. Now, if you go to Knoxville, you're in the Atlanta region.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely differences between regions. You know, I mentioned several times that if you go out of state to buy a Ford, and because you think that maybe the rebates are bigger, and they may be. In Atlanta, they may be running a special or something and have a huge supply of Ford Explorers that we don't have up in East Tennessee, so they lobby Ford Motor Company for additional rebates on Explorers.
Mm-hmm.
So you think if you find out about that and you're in the market for an Explorer, you just drive to Atlanta and get you one down there. Well, you can't do that. If your rebate that you qualify for is based on the zip code where you live, so if you live in East Tennessee, you qualify for East Tennessee rebates, not Atlanta rebates.
Okay.
So you can't chase them around. Occasionally, it is such a competitive market for trucks in Texas. Whoever wins Texas declares themselves the winner of all truck things.
Mm-hmm.
And so they typically have higher incentives in Texas than we do up here. It's more competitive. So, but you can't go to Texas and save any money. Just in case you were thinking about that.
I thought things were bigger in Texas. I thought maybe bigger savings in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Not true.
Not.
That is a falsehood,
okay.
Tim.
That would be a falsehood.
That would be a falsehood. So we're going to, okay, we've been to Cincinnati. Let's see, there's Pinecroft. We are going to come back and talk about something to do with cars, if I can find my little list. Oh, here it is. Okay, yeah, I'm ready. All right, we will go. We'll talk about what Joe Biden's going to do to the auto industry.
Right after this. Back here on this November the 10th, by the way, Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. So the election was, I guess, decided.
Well, I guess it's not 100% official yet.
I don't guess it's been certified.
That's the word right there, certified.
And Mr. Trump has not conceded.
No.
And he's challenging the results,
mm-hmm.
right? Mr. Biden is proceeding as if he is it, and it's going to go ahead, and they have to. I mean, can you imagine the complication of what an incoming administration has to do, to get everything set up?
Well, there's
to get all the people.
There's millions of a few million dollars involved in just the transition
for
everything that has to be done. And they're not releasing that money yet. That's another thing that's being challenged.
Mm-hmm.
Is the money is whoever's responsible for that money? I can't remember the exact name of the office, but
I think it's the GAO.
GAO, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, General Accounting Office.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of that fact, business cannot wait. Business mm-hmm. does not have the luxury of just waiting to see who won. The car industry, for example, is a business. Car dealers in particular, we have to move ahead as if we have to look at both scenarios. More than likely, it's going to stick. And so what does that mean for the car industry? It's not all bad. You know, some people may think it's bad for certain aspects of the economy if the Democrats or if we have a Democrat president.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about Biden is that he is a car guy. He does like cars. He does like old cars. Matter of fact, he owns them. I think a 63 or 64 Corvette convertible, and probably owns more than that. They might have a couple of them stored over in Russia. What's that other country?
China?
No, maybe, who knows? He probably has a couple over there. But anyway, maybe not. Anyway, he likes cars. He was actually in an episode of Chasing Classic Cars, or one of those car shows that I saw one time. And he likes to do burnouts.
I didn't know that about him.
Yeah, he's a car guy.
It's interesting to me, though, that he mentioned turning more to renewable resources and away from oil a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he's leaning that way, but so was the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's the direction that we're heading, for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic ticket has been more stringent, you know, when it comes to the auto industry in the past few years, largely due to the effects of climate change or the rumors of climate change. While Biden has noted that he'd like to keep auto industry jobs localized in the United States, he's expected to propose a lot of policies that would counteract those of the Trump era by introducing a $400 billion sizable chunk, right, in public investment to transition to clean energy. He's expected to quickly reinstate the legal basis for California's zero-emission vehicle rules. He is likely to reimpose a lot of the fuel economy standards and the dates, like 2025 was a magic year for a certain target for the industry. Trump administration rolled back the penalties, which the industry said saved at least $1 billion in annual compliance costs. But he's looking to bolster the EV economy. We had electricians in the dealership yesterday running conduit and setting up our EV chargers. We had to set up four for Ford and four for on the Nissan side of our showroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, the only fully electric vehicle that we sell is the Nissan Leaf, but we've got some coming. But Ford wants us, and Nissan both wants us, to be prepared for that future. So we now have a charging station set up in our service drive, one out on our lot for customers. I'm sorry, there's two out there for Ford's side and one out there for the Nissan side. So come on down, get a free charge. Get a charge out of Gateway. Maybe that's the new phraseology.
When we go EV, you know, get a charge out of Gateway.
Yeah, well, that's good. Emissions? They're going to clamp down on that as well. That's going to be, but you know, the auto industry is already there. I mean, they're there. It's just a matter of switching and moving more to the electric. And I'm not afraid of the electric car. I'm afraid of the cost. I'm afraid of the infrastructure not being able to get a charge when you need one, except when you come to Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
American jobs. Biden has stated that he's seeking to revitalize and empower unions while also adding a million jobs across the auto industry. So that sounds good. He's not going to send everything offshore. He knows that that's political suicide. So a lot of the things that we fear, I think, are going to happen are no more than fears. He's gonna move to the middle, or maybe not totally. We just got to make sure he stays in control, that he keeps his wits about him, if you know what I mean. We don't want someone else stepping up. Maybe I shouldn't say that. As far as the trade war with China, they're just going to reevaluate, is what they're saying. You know, Trump heavily restricted the flow of foreign-made parts and cars. He's just going to, apparently what he's saying is he's just going to reevaluate. He knows that he cannot open up the floodgates to offshore production. If he does, then that will decimate the auto industry as far as the United Auto Workers, which is one of his main sources of support. So he's not going to do that. So that's about it. I mean, I don't think we see a whole lot of change. Most of the momentum that's there, like I say, for electric was already there. It's being really pushed by the industry more so than government. And, Tim, we're going to be driving electric cars before long.
Yeah.
You and I, you know, may be having somebody drive us around, but, you know, it's going to be, they're going to be here, and we might as well get used to it. So I'm not too afraid of Biden when it comes to the car industry.
Okay. Well, some people have talked a little bit about it, saying, hey, what's going to happen? And some fears, as you mentioned. So you're being positive today.
Well, yeah. I mean, what choice do you have? You got to look for the silver lining, right?
There you go.
Every cloud has a silver lining, or is it every silver lining has a cloud? Depends on your perspective.
I guess so.
And I'm choosing my perspective
to be positive.
Thank you very much.
Very good. We will take our final break, and we'll come back and wrap this thing up. And we're back here on My Car Guru for a Tuesday morning for the last few minutes here.
Timmy.
Lenny Lawson.
Timmy.
Yes, sir.
If your car is equipped with a tire pressure monitoring system, you probably have seen the little U-shaped logo with an exclamation mark in the middle of it.
I have.
Have you ever seen that?
I've seen that a few times, okay. Yes.
So that is indicating that your tire pressure is low.
Yes.
And so if you see that, you're going to see it more as the temperatures drop.
Mm-hmm.
That's just physics.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to make sure your pressures are where they need to be. Or that light's going to be irritating. Don't put a piece of black electrical tape over top of the light.
Just put some air in your tires.
Yeah, just put some air in your tires. Now, if you get new tires, I've had this problem happen before. Make sure that when you get new tires that you don't sign anything, any kind of a waiver, before they do the work and replace your tires, that if they break off your tire pressure sensors when they're changing your tires,
mm-hmm.
that you are responsible for that, because those can cost more than the tire.
I would imagine, yeah.
And so if you get new tires and you drive off and all of a sudden your light comes on, they have probably damaged your tire pressure monitoring sensors.
That's not good.
And that's not your fault. That's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say a lot of tire stores have had to buy those, but some of them I have heard will have you sign a waiver that if they do damage your tire pressure monitoring system, mm-hmm. that they are not liable for that.
Don't sign it.
Don't sign it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're getting those snow tires put on your front wheel drive car on the rear, and your light comes on, then it's probably not your fault. You got it?
I got it.
Okay. So this kind of stuff happens. My Miata wouldn't start the other day, so I go into the garage, turn it on, and nothing, absolutely nothing. And so I jumped my battery off and took my little drive and came back, turned it on. And it was starting. I started and stopped it and started and stopped it several times. Next morning, dead again. So more than likely, I have a bad cell in my battery. Even though it's a 2017 model and it's only got 5,600 miles on it, I probably have cooked my battery. So if you find this happening and having to jump start your car, you do need to find out first, have your charging system checked to make sure it's generating enough voltage to keep your battery charged and to recharge it when you're going down the road. That's what alternators do.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that's happening. But also, if you've got a draggy starter, it's getting ready to get cold and bad. It won't be 80 degrees every day, will it, the rest of the year?
It will not, no. That's just not going to happen.
So it might be time to get a new battery and make sure that I recommend that you go to the dealership where you bought your car or to the dealership that sells your car and get a original equipment battery. But if you don't want to and you want to get a Sears Diehard or whatever other brand that you want, just make sure it has a good long guarantee on it. Get as powerful a battery as your car will accept. Cold cranking amps. Don't be messing around. Don't change the numbers. Get what it says in your owner's manual, and you'll be fine. But, yeah, so I've got to get a new battery whenever I'm going to get it.
Well, you got
probably get it at Gateway.
I was going to say, you got some choices there.
That's right. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
That's going to do it for My Car Guru here on this Tuesday morning, and we will talk to you tomorrow.